I believe that the word gift, G-I-F-T, can mean give it freely today. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your obligations, duties, jobs, if you're starting to feel really down, you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, would you remember the laugh today? Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned out inside out. Laughter is a shock absorber of life's hard knocks. If we didn't laugh, well, we'd be crying all the time. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stopped laughing. You don't laugh necessarily because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh because it releases natural painkillers called endorphins. Oh, you gotta laugh, folks, okay? Make sure today you laugh, and if you can make somebody laugh with you, you have earned a friend. Well, as you probably know, on Wednesday during this year, every Wednesday on the program, I am dedicating the show to Christmas. I want to celebrate Christmas every Wednesday. I'd like to celebrate Christmas every day. You see, we celebrate Christmas once a year in a big way to remind us that every Christmas can be, Christmas can be every day because we let Jesus be born in our hearts once again. And that's what Christmas is all about. And the way I am celebrating Christmas is to share the stories behind the best loved Christmas songs. I get it from a book by a man named Ace Collins. And today's story is about the song, Good Christians Men Rejoice. And here's what he writes. One of the most uplifting of the ancient carols, Good Christian Men Rejoice, is the product of two men who were persecuted for their religious convictions. They endured great personal hardships, suffered through lingering illness, and died in relative obscurity, never accepted by the church they loved. Though both vowed to serve the Lord and take the message of salvation to a lost world, both probably believed they had accomplished little of lasting value as they struggled to follow their call. For Heinrich Suzo and John Mason Neal, nothing could have been farther from the truth. Heinrich Suzo was born in 1295, the son of a German nobleman. Educated at the best schools, pampered in luxury, Heinrich was largely insulated from a world where only a precious few did more than endure each passing day. Poverty and disease were everywhere. The aptly named Dark Age was a time of cruelty, prejudice, and despair. A separation of people into social classes meant the very small elite branch had almost everything and the rest of society nothing. Sadly, there was no movement between classes. If you were born without means, you were doomed to live and die that way. And if you were born poor, for every laugh there was a thousand cries. Suso, who could have risen through his family ranks to a ruling status in his native land, instead chose to be a servant. Accepting a call to the priesthood, he became a Dominican monk. If all he had done was serve in a parish, he would have probably remained unknown. Yet, in 1326, the priest felt moved to write the Little Book of Truth, a vibrant defense of progressive thinking in the church. In his work, Suso justified taking the gospel and opening it in a way that would bring hope, compassion, and understanding to the common people. But instead of being held up as a man who truly understood the message that Jesus had brought to the earth, the priest was tried for heresy. Rather than still his voice, Suso felt a call to continue what he saw as a divine war. A year later, the unrepentant monk continued his battle with figures of authority by penning the Little Book of Eternal Wisdom. Unlike most religious books of the time, this one was essentially a practical work written in simple language. It wasn't for clerics or professors, it was for the common people. Now, this was a radical concept. Who would dare think that simple people would have any interest in understanding God and the message he brought to the world in the form of Christ? Unable to control the priest and afraid that his radical thinking might cause a revolt, In 1329, the Pope condemned Suso. Eventually, the German king exiled him. Suso fled to Switzerland. For a man born of noble blood, exile was the ultimate humiliation. Over the course of the next few years, the well-meaning priest suffered vicious persecution and slander. Yet even in the face of death threats, he refused to turn his back on the church, his calling, or his desire to share the gospel with the masses. Wanting to bring joy to the practice of the Christian faith, Suso preached of the happiness he found in walking with God. Many wondered how such a reviled man could find such blessings in life. He explained that God gave him peace and inspiration during every waking hour, and even while he rested. It was during the latter that the priest was given a vehicle to carry his message to the people. One night, Suso found himself immersed in a dream so real that he became a part of it. In his dream, the priest saw countless angels not only singing, but dancing. He listened as they sang and eventually joined with them in, quote, an ecstatic dance, end quote. When he awoke, he not only remembered the dream in vivid detail, but also recalled the words and the music. Feeling led by divine guidance, Suso picked up a quill and ink and recorded "Good Christian Men Rejoice" to paper. Until his death in 1366, he continued to reach the common man with his song and his message. "Good Christian Men Rejoice" was as radical a hymn as Suso's thinking was progressive. Christian music of that era was usually solemn, based totally on scripture, and never written in the common language. Suso had broken all three rules. His song embraced the joy of being a believer and enjoined the spirit whose meaning any child could understand. Although it was not immediately accepted by the church itself, the German people quickly and enthusiastically took the song to heart. They believed that just as Suso had been a priest to the common people, his song was a song for them as well. It would be more than 150 years before the carol inspired by a priest's dream found its way into print. Just because it wasn't published didn't mean that the song didn't inspire other writers in Germany, including Martin Luther, to compose hymns in the common language for the common people. Suso's radical thinking became part of the primary foundation for a revolution in the way most people viewed their relationship with Christ. Even the Catholic Church would come to realize that the priest had been right, and in 1831 the Pope canonized Heinrich Suso. James Mason Neill, a Church of England priest, hymn writer, and scholar, whose work included All Glory, Loud, and Honor, was another free thinker impressed with Suso's ideas and song. It's understandable that Neill was deeply moved by the song's attempt to bring the joy of salvation to the common man. In a world filled with sadness, he wanted everyone to know the joy that came when Christ entered a believer's heart. Sadly, in the mid-1800s, Neill's view of an exuberant faith was viewed as radical. He was exiled to a pastorate far from his native England, and even stoned and beaten by a crowd once for his beliefs. Although ridiculed by the leadership of his own denomination, Neill still sought out ways to reach the lost and forgotten. In a radical move for a priest in the Church of England, and over the objections of his superiors, Neill began an order of women, the Sisters of St. Margaret, to feed the poor, take care of orphan children, and minister to prostitutes. Though this group would touch tens of thousands, it brought death threats to Neill and the women who served in the sisterhood. Nevertheless, in 1853, an English publisher released Neill's English translation of Good Christian Men Rejoice in Carols for Christmastide. This book would pave the way for the song to be taken to the world. In 1900, Good Christian Men Rejoice had become one of the most popular carols in both America and Europe. A century later, it is still one of the most beloved Christmas songs in the world. In spite of its popularity, Good Christian Men Rejoice is rarely performed by huge choirs or in the best concert halls and cathedrals. The fact that the classical crowd has largely overlooked this song would probably please Heinrich Suso and John Mason Neill. After all, both men had suffered shame and ridicule because of their efforts to spread the good news to the very people Christ spoke of during his own life on earth, the least of these. Here's the words to the song. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice with hearts and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. So on this Wednesday, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Here's today's food for thought. Written by Sir Arthur Helps. He writes, "Wise sayings often fall on barren ground, but a kind word is never thrown away." Amen to that, right? Don't lose opportunities, dear listeners, to say kind words to people. Offer a compliment. Say something very kind. People these days, and you might be one of them, are under tremendous stress. It's very comforting to meet somebody who, with all sincerity, you have to be genuine here, all sincerity, says something kind. And that will not be forgotten. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for homeless people. These are the people on the street. These are the people we see holding signs. These are the mothers and children fleeing from domestic violence and living on the streets and living in the back of a car. Homeless people. Yes, some of them have emotional and mental health problems. Perhaps that's why they're on the street. Perhaps they're not taking medication when they should. The fact of the matter is, being homeless, living on the streets, is very, very dangerous for a variety of reasons. So let's pray. Dear God, bless the homeless people. Keep them safe from harm, from abuse, from murder, from being robbed of the few possessions they possess. Help them, God, if they're struggling with emotional and mental illness, to get the right help. Help them if they're in transition because of financial collapse, to be able to get back on their feet financially. Into your hands, we commend these people who are really the least of the least, the poorest of the poor, which makes them your special people. Bless them, God. Amen. Okay, here's today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A person wrote, "Spanish never came easily to my sister. Still, she did her best to communicate with the Spanish-speaking staff at the restaurant she managed. But when she made mistakes, and she made a lot, she'd apologize by saying, 'Me estúpido.' Finally, a staffer took pity on her. 'Susana, you're not estúpido,' she said, bucking up my sister's ego. 'You're a woman,' she continued. 'You are estúpida.'" Contact me. Write me. Let me know you listen to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. Send me a check. Make it to TASH. Send me your note, Father Scott Sitar, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.